traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Wonderful horses, but Flightline's different. He's been called one of the fastest horses ever.
The fact that we have a horse that's in this position, we are very grateful for this opportunity because we know it doesn't come along every day. We have a horse really on the precipice of true greatness.
Flightline goes in, all set for the TVG Pacific Classic. And there's the roar from the crowd as the field for the Pacific Classic sent on the way. They all came away to an even beginning. Extra Hope on the inside, Country Grammar in the white colors right there. Let's see, a quarter of a mile to go in the Pacific Classic. Flavian Pratt and Flightline are an embarrassing lead. It must be 15 lengths as they turn for home now. And take a good look at this, because you're not going to see this too often, maybe never again. Flightline, 20 lengths clear. Flavian Pratt takes a hold and canters in the TVG Pacific Classic.
Next stage is the world stage. I'd like to think we sent a clear message to some of those other really, really top-end colts. I'd say life is great.
In Lexington, Kentucky, the horse capital of the world, if you ask anyone from around here. The Breeders' Cup World Championships at Keeneland. All of us could witness history today. Yes, his name is Flightline, a horse of a generation and then some. Maybe the best that we have seen since Secretariat. A perfect 5-0 in his career, each victory more impressive than the last. He has a chance to prove it tonight in the $6 million Classic. It is the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
I've always said the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, it's just superb. So I endeavored just to be a fan all week, and I couldn't wait to get up in the morning and come see this dude train and all the good horses. To have them all at the same venue at the same time is really over the top good. Everybody knows that we're about ready to see something spectacular. I think he's the first horse that's really, really, really captured the attention and the imagination, especially in the social media world. So it's just been really cool to see. There was a story about him in The Athletic, in the New York Times. So, I'd like to think that we're pushing out into the real world, so to speak.
He is absolutely the best that I have seen in my lifetime. I think that we may see today the best day in American racing. The prospect of him pulling off what I'm praying for because of American racing. He's the shot in the arm that we've needed for a long time. He's a superstar.
I mean, look, we're all emotional because we know that Flightline, he's been a gift for all of us and all of our families. But I think more importantly, he's been a gift for the industry worldwide. I love the fact that I've gotten calls from all over the world that I can't wait for Saturday afternoon to see Flightline.
Beginning of the Thank you, everyone. Right, now we just have to go win the Breeders' Cup Classic. No easy task. Come on.
It's been great. A lot of talk about flight line. As we get closer and closer, it's getting a lot more intense. And this is the horse we've always dreamed of. Well, I had some back surgery about 3 weeks ago, and I feel great. My doctor's here at the race, so I feel great knowing he's here with me. Oh, I cannot get excited. Terry can't jump up and down around me, so he's going to have to be very careful.
429, they're bringing the horses out of the paddock now. If you want me to get her in, I can get him in.
Yeah, let's go. Terry's actually my dad, so I'm sure you can tell by the resemblance, but if you looked at his Twitter search, and they count it how many times he searched for Flightline, it would probably be in the thousands. In all seriousness, I think he's held it together pretty well today. After the race, it might be a little bit different. I know it's not too sunny out, but I'll probably put my sunglasses on during the race for that reason. So, great.
Runs in the family.
Yeah.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good luck.
You too. I don't think we've had the pleasure to meet.
No, we have not.
This is my son, Ryan, by the way.
Nice to meet you. How you doing?
Everything should be said has already been said. Now we just get locked on and enjoy it.
We're good to go, basically.
That comment that you made at the end of the year, right before the Malibu.
Yeah.
That got people thinking, yeah. Costa. And I just thought it was really cool to kind of keep coming back to that America's horse.
Right.
He loves this track. He traveled well, and he seemed to have enjoyed his stay here at Gainland, so looking forward to a nice day. I've always said he's the America's horse, so now everybody gets to see him in the whole world now, so that's going to be fun. Flightline showing up to every challenge, and he'll show up again today.
Hi, Bill Derek. How you doing?
I'm so good. I'm so excited.
Sarah, good to see you, Sarah.
Nice to see
this
you.
Is Flightline West Point. Remember I told you all about that?
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
Congratulations. I love what you do.
Well, I've been doing this quite a while. I'm not a nervous guy. We've been sitting up there for 5-6 hours, so it's been a long day. We're glad it's finally here. There's not a lot we can say this late in other than, let's get going.
You ready?
Come on.
I haven't seen you all week.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I am so hoping for you guys. Oh my gosh.
Feeling good? I'm ready to get this thing on, and I just can't wait to see the flight line and that we all know, and I think we all have flight line fever. And to think that people talk about Secretariat in the same breath of a horse that we're part of, I just hope we can do Secretariat proud.
They're all in line. We're ready for the start. They're off. And the 39th Breeders' Cup Classic. Flightline broke very well. Life is good goes out to the early lead. Flightline will be second early on, and Hot Rod Charlie came out running in third. Epicenter is guided to the inside, then Olympiad, followed by Taba. Rich Strike is second last, and Happy Saver the trainer. And it is Life is Good and Flightline, and they're going at each other early on. Let's check out this half mile. It's going to be quick. It was 45.47 seconds. Life is good up the backstretch in front by two. Flightline continues to sit second up the backstretch under a patient Flavian Pratt, who just took a peek behind. They've opened up 9 lengths on the rest of the field. Hot Rod Charlie is next. Now, beginning to move on the outside. Life is good by a length. Flightline on the outside second. 8 back to Hot Rod Charlie. Then Taba to the outside. They're coming to the top of the stretch. Life is good. And Flightline hook up as they turn for home. And Flightline takes off. Flightline has gone right by Life is Good and comes into the final furlong.
three length lead. Life is good. Trying to cling to second. Tampa is third. Down to the 16th pole. It is Flightline. It is mind tingling, jaw dropping, awe inspiring. Secretariat length. Breeders' Cup Classic win. He won it by 8 lengths on the wire. And that was Olympiad, followed by Tampa. And Rich Strike was fourth. No doubt about how great he is. Flightline is awesome.
Euphoria, adrenaline. My husband jumped up on the chair. He never does that. He's always the one that stays sitting down. The cheers.
How's the back?
The back, I'm not feeling any pain right now. He's just a spectacular horse, and we're so very proud of him and John and the whole team. He's the horse of a lifetime. He's America's horse, and exactly what we needed for horse racing.
They've been doing it since, you know, the year I was born, which is 1991. So, you know, to see them reach the pinnacle of the sport with, you know, a horse that can arguably be the greatest horse we've ever seen, you know, I think that's pretty special. You know, I got married this year, so I have to say this is the second happiest day of my year, and it's a pretty special day.
He has trained good. He's raced incredibly, as we all know, and he's just been phenomenal, but it's horse racing, and you just never know. I'm so happy for John and the family and the partnership and the barn especially. They've worked so hard.
Like, I'm reinvigorated to keep giving back as much as I can to the industry, and we will always be and always try to do the right thing. And we can never pay him back entirely for what he's given us, but we can sure try, and I'll commit to Flightline on behalf of all of us. He's just, he's been a gift from God. I will tell you, I usually don't like to bring up my personal life, but 16 years ago, I stopped drinking. On November 5th, 2006, to anybody out there who's struggling, like, you can beat it if you can put it down and you can work on your sobriety. You know, dreams do come true. The destiny called on Flightline, and Flightline had the ultimate answer.
Welcome to the latest episode of This Racing Life. I can assure you I'm not here for a busman's holiday, and instead have come to the yard of Nigel Twiston Davis, where there is a changing dynamic as son Willie takes on more of a mantle in the training duties. Along with other son Sam and up-and-comer Toby McCain Mitchell, there's plenty going on in the lead-up to the November meeting at Cheltenham. And with the likes of Broadway Boy, Matata and Potter's Charm, there aren't too many slow coaches here at Grangehill Farm.
Obviously been a part of the team for a long time, but so much more so the last 18 months, and worked very well together, so it's just a natural progression, I suppose, that hopefully next year I'll be on the licence in May. Obviously we'd like to have done it sooner, but we're halfway into the season and there's no point changing. I mean, the owners and staff and know that it's a Dad and Willie team, and Sam and Carl and Jim Olds, so we know we're all working together, so... we'll be patient and wait till then.
What was the main reason for you behind wanting to take on the training side of things?
It's more the form, and when I was a kid, I don't know why, I just always had gifted the racing post when I was 7 or 8 and took it to school with me every day. I loved looking through, playing starters' orders, training all the horses, finding the right races, and I've always found great enjoyment of race placings, a massive one, and then obviously I love the training side now where... You know, when you see a horse improve dramatically, like so Broadway Boy started off his handicaps off 118, and knowing you've probably got quite well handicapped horses, very exciting. And then you go to the other side, watching the three-year-olds progress, like Breaking In, I Like to Move It, and Guard Your Dreams. Very exciting. Watching the things like the new one come through, Potter's Charm on this year, Glimbray, watching the novices come through. It's just, obviously, a lot more highs and lows of training, whereas when you're riding, you can get in the car and leave it behind.
Yeah.
Whereas now I take it quite personally, I take it home with me, which is probably isn't the best thing in the world, but if you're not constantly thinking or trying to improve, you'll be left behind.
And do you feel that your knowledge of the sales ring and that kind of process is helping your dad a bit in that kind of realm?
Yeah, I mean, always watching the Irish point-to-points to see what we might be able to pick up, and obviously you can't always buy the winners of them. So it's like a Potter's Charm was second in his, and you see how he made mistakes the whole way around, looked like he travelled the best, and that's why we sort of targeted him. But we're very lucky we have Ian Ferguson on the ground, and he's a very good friend of Dad's and mine now, and he's very great help. He finds great value.
And it is sort of a family affair now, isn't it, with you and Sam and your dad as well. And that must be quite a nice mesh and merge to have.
Yeah, exactly. You know, love working together. And obviously Dad's kids, Ted, Minnie, Poppy and Rosie, have started enjoying it and coming racing. Ted came with us to Ascot on Saturday. And obviously we're very lucky that Sam's, in our opinion, but to most, he's probably one of the best jockeys in the country. So very fortunate to have him.
It's good fun, actually, because when it was with Dad, you always looked at him as the obviously Dad, but then the boss as well, and there were certain things you wouldn't ever say. Whereas with Willie, you can chance your arm a little bit more and bounce a few funky ideas around, and sometimes we'll be totally mad, and sometimes they work out quite well. But I think what's Willie's biggest attribute is, well, he's absolutely starving for it, you know. He wants to get more people involved, and as you know, with Dad, like, he'd have been always the first one to say, oh, how quickly can we hurry this interview up, whereas Willie's quite open to have people come and see the horses and do any filming, podcasts, and just gives the yard a slightly better outlook and gets a bit more airtime almost.
Do you think since you've come on board with Nigel, anything has changed much, or is it similar stuff from what he's done before?
It's interesting to see what he says. It's just a lot of the pressure or stress is off his shoulders, so he can sort of I'll deal with a certain amount of owners, we'll both speak to them all. And it's, yeah, since not just when he goes home, he's got someone to ring, and I've got the same vice versa. We take the workload off each other, and it's worked well. We've not had any arguments, and I think the staff are very happy. And we must add that we're so lucky, as you see this morning, our staff, they're so independent. They won't come to me or Dad unless there's a real problem. They sort of know their job, know their routine, and the boys and girls always have the horses looking fantastic. I think they win more best turns out than anyone, and they're very proud of their hard work. They're sort of very independent, and that helps a lot.
And in terms of what you'd like to achieve with your dad, I mean, what kind of stuff are you hoping to do in the next kind of couple of years?
You always say, oh, I want to be champion trainer. It's probably very unrealistic, as we'll never have the ammo of Nichols, Skelton and Henderson. But the aim will be always just to keep growing this place, growing the business, and hopefully getting the better quality of horse, which looks like it's coming through now.
You say you'll never have the ammo of, a Henderson or a Nichols or a Skelton, but at the same time, I was looking down the list of your owners, and you've got so many different owners for so many good horses. And it's definitely an encouragement.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But it's just we haven't really got the firepowers that, you know, Paul can go and buy 10 pointers for 300 grand, whereas we get 3 or 4. But no, it's mean that they've worked so hard to get there, and that's why he's the best, is because they've got the best horses. But hopefully we can keep building up our client basis, do the good a job as we can for the owners we've got, because they've all been so loyal and supportive. Most of them have been with us for years. Like a key one is Jamie and Anne-Marie, now sponsor the yard and just love their horses so much. And I'm grateful to buy a horse as expensive as Master Chewy for them, and it's repaid them.
It was great to see you riding out Broadway Roy this morning. Is the plan to keep doing that, or do you intend to stop doing that at some point?
Sam is laughing over my shoulder. I only really ride him, and I'll sit on Push the Button, sort of two horses I broke in from the word go. They're sort of my go-to lots if I do ride out, but I can see so much more on the ground watching them work, and obviously when we're schooling, it's much more proactive to me to be on the ground. But
yeah, of course.
I don't like anyone else to sit on him.
No, I can imagine. Yeah, he's yours.
Yes,
exactly. You mentioned Sam laughing over your shoulder. Generally, how do you get on when you're obviously working closely together? I imagine. Do you ever butt heads at all?
Very rarely. He gives his opinion, his feedback. It's invaluable. But he sometimes doesn't see what Dad and I see at home every day, so you've got to go on your gut a lot of the time.
What we can have is probably, I'd never have with Dad, is a lot more of a heated conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas with Dad, you look at him with respect rather than anything. I wouldn't want to be swearing about X, Y, Z, although it does, I'd be quite well known sometimes being not the best of losers afterwards, and Dad would predominantly get the brunt of it. But where Willie's good then is like he will argue back, whereas Nigel would just kind of stand there, take it and smile. But I was with a pair of them now, it's a nice dynamic, it works well, and that Willie and I can get on with what we do, and then Dad is fantastic at what he does.
And I know that as far as you're concerned, there's no real ambition on your side to go on the license at any stage, is there?
No, I'm quite happy behind this. Obviously, riding is my only sole objective, just to be successful and ride as many winners as I can, and then hopefully it doesn't have to happen in the near future, but one day then just play a quieter part behind the scenes where I can.
And of course, Sam is tried and tested, been there, done it, got the T-shirt, whereas Toby McCain Mitchell is a young jockey coming through, but he's impressed, I think, quite a lot of people in racing so far.
Yeah, Toby's a very naturally talented horseman. Came to us with not having too many rides or winners, and everything we've put him on, he's grasped it with both hands. I mean, his rather the newest one, he looked like a professional. He's a very, very good rider and an integral part of the team.
Ever since I can remember, I wanted to be a jockey. Took a slight detour, probably from secondary school and a year or two after that, into show jumping, just how it sort of happened, through ponies and so on. And you get working in yards, and then I was in between jobs, and obviously Mum's secretary at Donald's, and she just said, "Oh, why don't you ride out again? Just whilst you've got a bit of spare time." I'd ridden out as a child, and I said, "Yeah." Well, then got back into the yard, being a big yard with good crack and riding nice horses, and I was hooked again, and soon made the switch back, and yeah.
And of course, you got that racing in your blood, haven't you? Being a grandson, is that right, to Ginger McCain,
yeah,
the great Ginger?
Grandson, yeah. And then nephew to Donald, yeah, so.
Let's fast forward to this man's big day and your big day too at Cheltenham recently. It's always a race that's great for conditionals and that kind of thing, isn't it? And spurring them on to greater heights. And, of course, to win that, I imagine, must have been a great thrill.
Yeah, I was quietly quite excited and looking forward to riding him. I had a game plan the whole time, and luckily it all went to plan, as it rarely does, and
And what was that feeling like crossing the line up that famous hill?
Oh, I can't explain it, yeah. I was speechless, which I'm not usually. It's just magic.
So some things stay the same and some things change. Change very much at the forefront of plenty of minds here at the Twiston Davis Yard, with equine and human talent very much on show. Now time to leave here and head to Warwick to find out a little bit more about their race days and indeed to enjoy the Racing TV Club Day.
So the Club Days are included as part of your Racing TV membership, and it's so easy for people to apply. So we have a Club Days section on our website, and you can simply select the days that you want to attend and pick two tickets for yourself and a guest, and they're a combination of both Club Days and weekend tickets.
Okay, and it does seem as though they've proved pretty popular so far.
Well, I mean, Warwick's an incredible place for them all to come. And also having a marquee like this, where we've got a lot of capacity for our members, it's brilliant. And so this is a Club Day where we do have a VIP section. So these tickets are randomly allocated, depending on the capacity we get. But yeah, it's been great. We've got a lovely bunch here and they're having a great time so far.
I think it's something that for whatever you're paying, I think it's £20 a month or whatever it is, you really get your value for money if you come on some of these things. Go racing, I don't know how many days there are, but significant number. I think I've been 30 times or something this year. So even though my wife shouts at me for doing it, but there you go, I love it.
We try to come about twice a month at least on the Club Days. Of course, watch it on TV all the time, as does my daughter, who's now a new recruit. So she follows you as well. We love Racing TV, and the Club Days are fantastic. So I can recommend it to any race goer. Brilliant.
We love to support Racing TV Club Days. We have three throughout the year, so this is our proper Club Day that we have on our Stanmeller Chase Day. We've got the January meeting where we have the winter season ticket, and then the weekend season ticket as well on our four-legged friend day in March. So we love to support them. It provides a bit of atmosphere on course, and the uptake is really good.
Yeah, loads for Racing TV members to get involved with. It's great to see. In terms of Warwick, race day is coming up. Obviously, Stan Mellor Day has been brilliant so far. We've got some great afternoons ahead of us, including the Winter Festival, in association with the Thoroughbred Breeders Association. There's a lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, we've got loads to look forward to over the next few months. Our Winter Festival on the 20th and 21st of November. The second day is our Breeders' Day. It's the first year of our relationship with the TBA. There's a great seminar in the morning that the TBA have pulled together with a fantastic panel featuring Charlie Post and Grace Skelton and Simon Cox from the TBA. So that's something really exciting for the race goer to get involved in. We've then got our two meetings in Christmas with our ever popular New Year's Eve meeting, and then we look forward to our proper race days with our Classic Chase Day in January and Kingmaker Chase Day in February.
Warwick were also hosting the 2024 Jets Richard Davis Awards, and we caught up with the winners.
I've met sort of all the Davis family today, really, and obviously the awards are in memory of Richard Davis, who sadly lost his life, and I think it's great, you know, to keep his name going, and their support has probably been instrumental in allowing these awards to thrive year after year, really. And yeah, I think the sort of the prize money and the pat on the back we get for it is a great incentive for jockeys to take up the opportunities that Jets are offering.
From what was a cracking day at Warwick, we've come down to see Kim Bailey Racing, a man who no doubt has raised a glass or two of Chianti Classico to his headline horse, who made a winning return at Ascot and looks destined for all the top-level contests this term. It's all change here at the yard, with Tom Bellamy recently made stable jockey number one and Matt Nichols likely to be on the licence at some point soon alongside Kim. Loads to look forward to, and I've come down here to find out a little bit more. Let's begin with Chianti Classico winning the big handicap at Ascot, a horse who really seems to be coming into his own now.
Yeah, it was a proper performance, really, carrying top weight. You know, he's not a very big horse, and it was a big day for him. It was a huge day for the jockey, for Tom Bellamy, and it was a great result for me, for Tom, and for the owners, because Sir Francis is chairman. Well, not chairman. He's the King's representative at Ascot. So, for him to have a winner at Ascot was brilliant.
Not far off 160 rated now. Do you see his ceiling being pretty high now?
Well, I hope it doesn't go down. He's going to be hard to place. He's still probably in the cusp that he could run in a handicap again, but he's going to carry top weight. And he's probably not good enough yet to go and take on the big boys, because he's still a stone away from them. So he's in the Betfair as a possibility. If we had four runners like we had last year, then obviously we might think about it. He's never run less time than a month, so that would be 3 weeks. It just might be too soon. He's not a horse that takes a huge amount of racing. I know he's an exciting horse to follow, put it that way.
I know they're all too... far too Cheltenham Festival centric these days, and we all get very hyped up, don't we? But it would be remiss of me not to ask, do you think he could be at some stage a potential Gold Cup horse?
Well, he's only seven, he's going to be eight by the time we get into next year. I've always looked upon him as a Grand National potential horse, okay, because at the end of it he jumps very well, and the Grand National is a very different race to what it was 5 years ago. I mean, now it's a class race. You know, the banding of weights will only be a very short, it would be a stone from bottom to top. It's now a very different race to what it was. It's not gone of the days when it was a lottery for outsiders. There won't be outsiders anymore. There will not be the lottery. And in many respects, the people's race is gone, because you can't get the dear old lady go and shove a pencil in and just put it down there and say, well, I'll have 50 quid on that or a fiver on that. It's a class race now, which in many respects it should be, but it's taken away a bit of the charm, I think, as well. So.
And just lastly on Chianti Classico, I spoke to Matt earlier, and he was sort of waxing lyrical about the horse's makeup and the fact he's not too big, not too small. He's the perfect athlete, really. Would you agree with that?
Well, I've been very lucky over the years to train some good horses which aren't very big. And, I mean, Dockers Express is a prime case, about the same size as him. The Last Samurai was the same. And we've got another horse in the yard, Destroy the Evidence. They're all border on 16 hands or just low. They're light framed, and a small horse will carry weight.
Okay, you mentioned it was a big day for Tom Bellamy winning a award Chianti Classico at Ascot. Obviously he's been a part of the yard for quite a long time now, but only recently has got the job as first jockey. How do you think he's settled in so far?
Well, I think very well. Tom was riding out here when he was 13. He lives locally, so he's been popping in on a regular basis ever since then. His first day at work, if you want to put it that way, was when we had the trouble at Worcester, and it's been a great introduction for him. We've known him for long enough, we get on very well with him, and I hope it carries on that way. He lives in Stirling the Wells, so it's very easy for him to get in here and ride out as much as he can do, and he's very keen on making it work, and we're very keen on making it work as well.
My stepmother used to be secretary here, so I used to come in on a Saturday morning with her when I was at school and ride out, and got taught all the ropes by Matt, Ed Cookson, Jason Maguire and people like that. So, I've ridden out here for a long time, and had a sort of spell riding when I was a conditional in my earlier days, and then a few years away, and then back again now.
Yeah, and Kim said he's got some pictures of you when you were 13, so it's a long old journey.
Yeah, that's it, exactly, and they look like old pictures now, so it makes me feel quite old, but no, it's been a long process, I suppose, but no, it makes it all a bit more special, I suppose.
Yeah, a nice familial feel as well with Ed Cookson and a few others still here as well.
Yeah, well, I sort of grew up with Ed, to be honest. He's a little bit older than, quite a bit older than me, actually, I should say. And we did Pony Club and stuff together, so, you know, he's a close friend. And, yeah, I've just known sort of Matt as well for a long time, so it's, homely, I suppose.
And given that history with the yard then, Tom, it must have been a real privilege and honour to be given that number one jockey spot here.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Look, it was quite a shock to me when it came. I sort of saw Matt in the summer, and we walked the course together, and he said, obviously, you know, there might be some rides available, so come and show my face when I'm around. And I did that, and then I think sort of as the busier season sort of came in, they wanted a bit more regularity and someone who knew all the horses and who's going to be available for the horses. So I was asked the question, and happy to oblige.
What are the qualities that you see in him the most?
Well, he's a natural horseman. And I think that's a really important thing. He's now 30-odd years old. He's had plenty of experience underneath him. Like all these young jockeys, when they start off, they probably learn by their mistakes. He's done his mistakes, hopefully. And I think he's a jockey with a great head on him, a good judgment of pace, and a natural person for bringing horses into a fence. So, yeah, fingers crossed it carries on being just that.
And he's got some very nice horses to ride this season. We've mentioned one of them. Another one would be Trelawne. I know the weather is rather put pay to plan so far, but what are you thinking at the moment as regards what he's going to do?
Well, we were really upset we couldn't go to Carlisle last weekend. That was going to be the staging post with the view that he would probably go to Hennessy after that. But I'm desperate for running him in a small field before he goes into what I call big race handicaps, because he had a nasty fall at Cheltenham this year. And I just think his confidence needs to be restored, although it's absolutely fine at home. It's a different ball game when you get back on the racetrack. So he's qualified for graduation chases, which is the race we were going to go for at Carlisle. And there is another one at Haydock on Betfair Day. So that's where he'll go, all being well. And I just pray it'll be soft enough. You know, good to soft jumping grounds, fine. Okay. But nothing quicker than that. He came back after Carlisle last year with sore shins. And I really can't go through that again, because it made our season very difficult for him.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I know that he's always had plenty of talent in your eyes, got a few quirks as well.
Yes, but I mean, good horses have to have a little bit of a quirk, even though his pedigree wouldn't suggest he is what he is. You know, we were very surprised when he won his first race over hurdles. You know, none of us really, he never showed that much at home. He's a bit like old Harry Topper was years ago. They never showed anything at home. And he went down to Exeter and he came home 18 lengths clear. We were all staggered. And then we went back again and he jumped the last in clear, you know, in front, and then decided to join us in the paddock, which rather ruined the day. But we learnt then that the quirk was there. So, and of course, he showed it big time when he ran at Wetherby, when he tried to run off the racecourse. I mean, he was heading to the owners and trainers car park.
He is the sort that if you feel you can channel those quirks, he could turn into a very, very good horse.
I think he could be. I'm sure Tom will get on very well with him. He's certainly shown a great liking for the horse. He's worked well. His work before the plan race at Carlisle was very good. He's done plenty of schooling. Yeah, and the rest is up to the lap of the gods and how he behaves on a racetrack.
He's an absolute machine, but he's a quirky old customer. If you look for his form, you'll see. But he... I think it's starting to all come together. I've sat on him four or five times at home, probably more now, and each time I try kidding it out of him in a different way, and I feel like I'm getting there, but then I think he surprises everybody with what he does sometimes. But if it all comes together for him, I think there's a big race in him.
I wanted to ask you as well, I know you've always been a keen writer of your blog, and that's something I hope to see continue in the future. Where do you find the time to do it? Because you're such a busy man with the horses.
Well, at the end of it, it's something I find very, very easy. You know, I'm up early enough and do it. There's not a lot on it. It's a lot of pictures, and now you do a lot of copying and paste of other people's information. So it's a lot of bullshit, but it's also quite fun, and a lot of people read it. And it's actually brought me some very good business, so I'm not complaining about it.
If we could fast forward then finally to, let's say, this time next year, and you look back on your 2024-2025 season, what would you like to have achieved?
It'd be lovely if we could have another winner at Cheltenham and a Grand National winner. who knows? I mean, you know, if the horses get through their season in one piece and they've had a good season, it'll be good. You know, Matt will come on my license at some stage.
Okay.
We've got a lot to look forward to the future, and his job will be to bring in younger people and younger owners. And that's how you've got to move forward. I've done this job for a long time, and I love every moment of it. I love National Hunt Racing. But we've still got to try and find out ways of getting younger people to get involved in it. And we were talking about Don Matcham earlier on, you know, who's brought all these university students in. Those guys coming in and helping racing are really important for the future.
You've been here for 17 years now. You're,
I believe so.
Yeah, part of the woodwork here at Kim Bailey Racing. But for those who might not be aware of your name, it's going to be becoming more prominent, isn't it? Because at some point in the near future, you're going to be on the licence alongside Kim.
Yeah, that's the hope. That's the hope. The process has started. It's something that we spoke about for the last few years. Kim, when I first mentioned it to Kim, he was very upbeat about it and very open to it happening. He wanted to get to a certain number of winners in his own name, which I think is absolutely the right thing to do. But we're at that level now. We're at that number now, and the process is happening. So hopefully in the next couple of months we'll see my name out there a bit more. Yeah,
and it does seem as though you merge and gel very well together, and that you're sort of, he's A and you're B, and you work well as a team. So nothing much, I imagine, will change.
No, very much so. I think you've hit the nail on the head. We've been pretty much doing it as a partnership for the last, well, a good few years now anyway. The only thing that would change really would be getting my name out there and getting my name in the paper for the future. Our owners have completely understood how we work for an awful long time, and people that know us know how we work. Obviously, the final decision has to rest with somebody, and that will always be Kim. It's his licence and it's his yard, and it always has been. But we've worked as a team for a long time now, and we work together very well.
And I guess once you get on the licence, the main aim will be to continue this current trajectory of quality and horses that do very well at a high level.
Massively. You know, your dream, isn't it, that you see your name in lights and you see yourself training big winners. That's what everybody wants to do. And I hope that, and it just maybe, you know, it's very difficult to get new money into the yard these days. We're surrounded by a lot of big yards and a lot of up and coming yards, and you know, to attract people here, A, we've got to train winners, but B, it just gives us a bit of longevity and perhaps look into the future, and hopefully another name on the licence and a bit of a kickstart and a bit of a, not a relaunch, far from it, because, you know, we're not going anywhere and we haven't been anywhere, but just, you know, it's just something to flag up, something different that might catch people's eyes.
It does feel as though this year there is an emphasis on quality at the yard. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, very much so. We had a bit of a thinning out during the summer. We invested where we could, and we think we've got a nice bunch of horses who are, you know, look, everybody's got their lower graded horses, but nobody wants to buy a horse to be at that grade. You're hoping to be at a higher level, and I think we have got those horses this year, yeah.
Do you want to do a bit of gate opening?
Sure.
Yeah, we have plenty who can't.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm going to be definite.
You're videoing this, I hope. Yeah. Come on, lift
yeah.
And pull that, that's it. Well done. All on video.
That's so annoying. I'll never live that down.
No, you won't.
We've had a really fun morning at Kim Bailey's, and just down the road is the heart of Cheltenham. And here at Taylor's, the Racing TV Pub of the Year. Let's find out more with owner Rachel.
When I got the email, and I opened the email and all this confetti started flying out, you know, on the screen. It was really touching, actually.
I can imagine.
Because, you know, having run hotels and then, you know, brought the racing into the pub again.
Do you often see year on year regulars coming back here?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. All the time. And I think one of the things that people like is I have this policy. I don't put the beer prices up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll not put beer prices up just for race week, you know.
But other places do that.
They do that. But we don't put our prices up, even though we have extra costs like for security and all the live entertainment we put on. No, we don't put our prices
up. It's all about keeping that loyal customer base, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to upset people and think that, you know, I'm ripping people off just for the sake of an extra 50p or a pound, really.
Yeah, well, I noticed as soon as I came in that Racing TV is on 17 screens in this pub, so if you like racing, here's the place to come.
Yeah, we made it our mission when I bought the pub. We put all new TVs in and new speakers, so that literally every seat in the pub has a TV view. So wherever you sit, And it's ironic, we always get lots of people when booking for sporting events, can I have a view of a TV? And, you know,
no worries on that front.
Yeah, yeah, everywhere has a TV view, so it's, yeah, fantastic.
And how did you come by getting into the pub game, moving from hotels to this?
Unfortunately, through an illness, and so I packed in work, and then decided, right, okay, I love hospitality. Been in it for over 30 years, and an opportunity came up for a different pub to here. Went for it, and then Taylor's came up, and it was a no-brainer. You know, it is the best place to be.
And you tend to get your busiest times of the year around the racing, aren't they?
Yeah, completely. I mean, with a lot of sports, you know, we had the rugby on at the weekend, and we were full for that. But yeah, certainly for the racing, and you know, people will be ringing now saying, "Are you taking bookings for Gold Cup Day?" I was like, "Well, we're nearly full actually. You're booked for the year after."
Do you almost have to book a year in advance then?
Yeah. I mean, we literally open up bookings straight after the racing. We have the two bars, so we have the main bar up here and we have another bar upstairs, and both bars will be full. People come and they'll have come for breakfast before they go off to the races. Some people will have breakfast and stay all day and watch the races. Some people will come just watch the races all day. We don't take bookings after a certain time, after 4 o'clock, because it's walk-ins only, we just can't.
Yeah.
It's just so full that, we couldn't manage it. You know, my poor husband is probably the only person during race week goes around wearing a hat, scarf and gloves, because he's literally in the cellar throughout just changing the barrels.
Yeah. That's amazing, isn't
yeah,
it, really?
Yeah.
amount of beer you must go through.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We actually have a separate area we have to store our top-up, because we can't get it all in the cellar.
Is that right?
Yeah. We can't keep it all in the... It was just too much, you know. There's over 170 barrels.
Yeah. And during festival week, all the bar stools and tables are moved aside. Is that right?
Yeah. after the last race has taken place, because obviously one of the good things here, obviously racing TV, probably we have racing TV. If you don't, you don't get to watch the last two
races at Cheltenham. Cheltenham.
So we watched the last race. And then literally all the furniture's moved out, and we have the live music up here, and then it's dancing.
And if people were coming here during festival week, or indeed any other time of the year, how might they find you in Cheltenham?
We're just off the main high street in Cheltenham on Cambry Place. It's a beautiful building. It's it used to be a tailor's many years ago. Owned by the same family, Peter and his family. And we've got great space indoors and outdoors.
And you're not too far from the racecourse?
No. You're about a 10-minute walk from here to the racecourse. It's just on the outside of Cheltenham. People can walk there, or there are buses from the town that take people up to the racecourse, yeah.
That's it for another edition of This Racing Life. Our thanks to Willie and Nigel Twiston Davis, to Warwick Racecourse, to Kim Bailey and Matt Nichols, and to Rachel and all the team here at Taylor's. I'm going to finish the episode by toasting Chianti Classico with a nice, apt glass of red. Until next week's episode, a French special from Chantilly, it's au revoir.
I think the key in the Global Champions League is to be very consistent.
We are like 14 teams this season with the best rider in the world. To be in the best four is already a big challenge.
And after being so successful right from the start, we early got the feeling we could do it.
In the end, you ask yourself, okay, why did it not happen this year? Why did we end up second?
The most important thing to stay in the fourth, just to skip the first day from the playoffs, that was really the goal we tried to catch, and we did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the official start of the 2024 Global Champions League season.
I mean, the start was Doha, obviously. It was the first show of the season, and it was a special one. It was a special one for us.
That Canstars, powered by Iron Dames, are going to take the podium on their first weekend out in the pink colours. Here's the final fence for the podium. Jana Meyer has just gone and done it for the Iron Dames. This is unbelievable.
I have to say that we have the best team standing behind us.
We made a good plan for the two rounds and it also worked out, so it really proved it was a really great teamwork.
We had a big support and already at the beginning you could feel it's kind of a big family and there are a lot of pink caps running around. And that was something that continued.
We started actually quite good in Doha, but then we had a very difficult show in Miami.
Where will they go? Behind Shanghai Swans, behind Scandinavia, behind Istanbul. They are lost, ladies and gentlemen, lost. Stockholm Hearts, powered by H&M. We love horses. Time is good. Malin Bajard-Jonsson with H&M Indiana for Stockholm Hearts. It is a clear from Malin Bajard-Jonsson and H&M Indiana. And now Stockholm Hearts have got a chance at their first podium of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we were very consistent, especially the first part of the season. We didn't have really the amount of horses that are ready to go. So it was a difficult year. And I think first spot for us was, I'd say, too far away from us this year. Second spot, I'd say maybe we gave a little away.
We tried to fight back in Mexico, had another difficult stage in Shanghai. So there was a huge up and down in the first four stages. And then I was that time always looking for that wave. I thought, okay, next show.
And all the pressure now on Riesenbeck International. Oh, that is gone.
We need a win. We need one win and then we go. But it just didn't come.
It is going to be the first clean sheet in the history of the Cannes Stars powered by the Iron Dames. And the lead is Saint-Tropez. It's exactly that. For the first time, they've jumped four clear rounds at a single stage.
I mean, I think every one of us was like really proud to be part of it. And after being so successful right from the start, we early got the feeling we could do it. We could maybe even bring it to a win at the end of the season.
It's very important to be always top five, top six. And I think just the last few shows cost a lot of points.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the seventh stage of the Global Champions League season. It is now the city known for its film festival where we've landed. It is Cannes.
Malin was competing with Antoine Hermann and Jessica, I say.
And closed the gap on the championship standings. Malin Bajard-Jonsson clear with H&M Indiana.
We are very lucky to have Malin and Indiana on our team. I think she's made a lot of points for us.
Philip Schulze-Tophoff and Christian Kukuk. Riesenbeck International, powered by Kingsman. Go double clear.
What it felt like the whole year. We started double clear in the first round. I don't know how many times we did that, actually.
And there goes the plank. Oh, there's another one. And Stockholm Hearts, powered by H&M Wheel of Horses, have won the stage here in Cannes.
It was always a very good start. And then in the second round, here rail, there rail, sometimes two rails, another rail. It just did not, we didn't have the wave we had last year.
Stockholm Hearts will lead the championship, but here in Paris, the winners are Doha Falcons.
Paris, we won in Paris. I was not there, but was really happy because give us like a good slot of point and really push up in the overall classification. I would say I'm really lucky with Dexter because he's a natural fast horse. And for him, even if I save the run, he's always fast. It's probably one of the fastest horse I rode in my life.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stockholm, to the Olympic Stadium. And so Delestre to unlock the championship battle with Dexter Fontenizet. There they come. They're going to win it. Doha Falcons have won Stockholm after Paris. Now they also conquer Stockholm. And they will make a huge jump into the rankings, into the top of the rankings, putting pressure on Stockholm Hearts.
In Stockholm, we win on the time. because you never had to think about the time. So when you go for the second one and that the time is so important, it's really nice to have him in form.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Global Champions League and especially to the second round held here in Monte Carlo, Monaco. This is now a completely different story. They do not have a single rail in hand, nothing at all. A time penalty, a rail, and it's a win for Prague.
We all have been like very honest with each other. When somebody had the feeling maybe this horse is not ready enough to do this class, then we saw together, okay, who can do it? What would be the best plan for the team? Like Monaco, very small ring. I was there as a backup supporting the team because I brought younger upcoming horses.
They're already guaranteed of the championship lead. There is that first fence. There is that second fence. The championship lead is theirs. How about the stage win? And they've won the stage as well. Can Stars have won stage number 3 here in Monte Carlo? By 5 seconds, they overtake Prague Lions.
Sophie and Kim were with their good horses, like they really delivered. And I think it's a small thing. So Riesenbeck, it's a big grass venue, so you really have to think what horses can be good there. And then it was Sophie and Katrin that really made it possible.
They are becoming serial killers, these CanStars. Cold-blooded serial killers. Are they going to do it again? Back-to-back wins and a major jump on the standings. They've done it again. What a performance from CanStars. Clean sheet number 2. Consecutive win. 4 CanStars powered by Iron Dames.
And so we really grew together as a team and everyone put in the best.
Welcome to London, ladies and gentlemen. Only 5 teams now, with Stockholm Hearts next to take the lead and to keep somewhat the pressure on CanStars. There's Philippe Hearts, there's the finish. He jumps double clear here at the stage in London.
We were struggling a bit to get enough horses at the competitions. We did a few competitions with 2 riders, which is a bit risky. I think we did what we could have done. It's just a shame that we gave it away on the end.
There's Jana Meyer, the finish on 4 for her and 8 for the team. And yet another podium finish for CanStars.
Deborah always being very supportive, very positive. But also Stefano next to us, he's also really, he's emotional in a good way, like supporting us.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Valka Swart for round 2 of the Global Champions League stage here at the launch in Tops International Arena. It's Riesenbeck International powered by Kingsland Equestrian. Over the back rail and it is double clear. It is clean sheet for Riesenbeck International powered by Kingsland. Take the lead here, and finally, after everything that did not work at all those previous stages, well, now they jump this clean sheet.
For me, it felt like this turning moment for us in the GCL did not really come. I was always looking for it, but it didn't happen.
They have to jump double clear. They've got 2 incredibly fast men. Vogel, the fence is gone. Riesenbeck win their first stage of the season. And Riesenbeck also takes 2nd place in the championship.
We had only 1 win, but we had a lot of podiums. So it's like I said, it felt for me like the wave we had last year didn't come, but we were still good swimmers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Global Champions League final of 2024. The next team to go is CanStars powered by Iron Dames. If they complete this first round, they are champions of 2024. All 9 months in Global Champions League, CanStars powered by Iron Dames are now officially champions of Global Champions League 2024.
Yesterday it was just the 3 of us, and it's not the 3 of us, it's 6, and then even 2 people in reserve also coming up, and then a whole supporting group. So it's so much more people that are involved in the success.
Stockholm Hearts powered by H&M. And there it is. Stockholm Hearts come home with a clear of Julien Epaillard. They are guaranteed of 3rd place in the championship.
We came to Rabat really as our goal. have to be top four. It's the most important we have to do.
We were fifth before coming, and for sure the goal, like I say, was to be in top four. And this was a weekend here. We had to give like 200%. It's difficult to do this every day, every round, every show, but you know you had to be better than the others, so you need really the maximum of concentration.
There come the Falcons. The last fence falls, but it has no impact because the Doha Falcons finish inside the top four.
Simon, when you see 1 point, talk to me, that's a crazy finish.
I was just waiting for the overall, but you just give me a call and say, come, you are top four. I say, what, why? I don't know, because we were trying to make the... I knew we were so close, but you give me the answer, so I'm really happy for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard, it's tough. I mean, we all won't do this, if you see, and also the teams now, if you see in the end how close the points were. I mean, first one was far away, and then second, third, but then from fourth until sixth, seventh place, it was a matter of just a few points. I mean, very important to start one round later, to jump one round less, makes a very, very, very big difference.
We also want to be good at the playoffs, that's for sure. And because the playoffs are a little bit different, also the whole schedule, and it also needs a special tactic, what horses will go what round. But I'm sure we make up a good plan.
For sure, the expectation is qualifying for Sunday, and then we have to see how the horses are jumping, how they're enjoying the venue, see what shape they are, but definitely reaching the final is the main goal.
For sure, in the playoffs, you're going to have many, many good teams, but I would say Irondam had an amazing season this year, and they deserve this victory, and I think they're going to be really strong there.
Good memories in the whole team for Riyadh. Always kind of a good feeling, and you always need these positive vibes and good vibes for yourself to bring the best performance. So for sure, we go very motivated and very excited to Riyadh.
Thank you. Hello, Dad. Hi.